And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Oh my goodness, it's Expository Thursday!
Expository Thursday!
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, in the Book of Acts, we reach a significant moment where Paul has started delivering his pivotal speech about the proclamation of the gospel. He emphasizes that the God they worship is not a deity crafted by human hands, nor a product of imagination formed from wood, stone, nature, or other material. In fact, he passionately defends the notion that God is the giver of life and of breath to everything. Wow. Next, another outstanding truth that Paul highlights is that God is the ultimate satisfier of every genuine need for mankind. I'd like to repeat that since everybody tries to create their own satisfaction, which is why there is a song that says, I can't go get no satisfaction. Listen to what I'm saying. He highlights that God is the ultimate satisfier for every genuine need for mankind. These needs do not encompass worldly, fleshly, or satanic desires, but rather righteous necessities. God, as the Creator, provides everything essential for His creation. However, if the creation rejects their Creator, they will feel unfulfilled and also face the consequences. And finally, the purpose is to draw people towards Him, encouraging people to seek Him and to reach out to Him. He extends His hand to all of humanity, and He's not distant from any of us. He bestows His grace so that mankind will pursue a relationship with Him. When individuals reject Him, they ultimately insult their Creator in the most grave manner.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Yeah, here's like the second or third best one I've ever given you. You better get ready for this one. Talking to Dynamite D. Listen to this. It's like visiting a classic Jewish delicatessen and having it be even better than you thought it would be.
That's a great one, Dave.
That's my favorite. I just want to cry.
That's a great
one. I mean, I just love that. Okay. Now, I know I've done it before, but every once in a while, you just got to throw that back in there. That's just a good one. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request or a praise report. If you got a prayer request, call up. We'll take our faith, join it with yours, bring it before the Lord, submit it to Him, and ask Him to help. Does God help? Of course He does. Of course He helps. Let's ask. He is waiting upon people to approach Him. You'll find out how true that is in a minute. If you've got a praise report, something that's going on, something that's going great, you know what? This is a great venue to share that. And the reason is it blesses other people and encourages other people, and you can be a vehicle of that blessing. That's what it has to do with when you're taking thought about other people and caring how they're doing. Maybe you've got something else going on. You're trying to figure it out. Maybe you've just got some questions. We we are committed to just doing, I mean, there's one real focus in what we're doing, and that would be Hebrews 10:25. Our goal is to encourage one another as we see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. That's what we're doing. To that end, we also do Bible trivia and a few other goofy things because that's the way God made me. That's how it goes. Here we go. Here is your trivia question. Who was known in the New Testament as the last Adam? The last Adam. That's right. You guys kind of know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So, you know, you got to think of that. So it's not really technically the second Adam. It's really just technically the last Adam. So who's known as the last Adam? You just think, everybody's, if you're overthinking it, pull yourself back, keep it simple, and then go forward. You'll get it. We'll get you there one way or another because it's important stuff. So we definitely want to do that. So that's the trivia question. We're going to get into our text in just a little bit. I do want to remind people about a few different things. Not everything that we do, and you guys know this well, but not everything we do on the show is perfect. Not everything we say is perfect, nor do we expect every person to agree with every single thing that we say. What we do expect is that if the Lord gives you something and it works it or speaks to you or works into your life, we do expect you to use that and draw closer to the Lord. We do expect you to first respond to God. He's the one that you have to answer to. We're here to encourage that and hope we're a blessing for that. That being said, if you do from time to time, not all the time, need to have a little bit of a conversation, I've been doing that with some of the listeners, it's totally okay for me to do that with you. There's no charge, nothing weird like that. Just to be an encouragement, if I can help, I'd be glad to. You just let me know. We'll coordinate something through the 214-210-8483 line. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. Pray for Deb and me and Noel. We got a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, which we'll get to share some things that we have not shared with anybody anywhere in the universe. And then make some decisions that we need to as we pursue the Lord. Okay? Trivia question, doing it one more time, making sure people get it. Who was known as the last Adam? Okay? Not A-T-O-M. A-D-A-M. Hello!
Different Adam.
Yeah, different Adam. Okay? All right. Not Adam Ant or anything like that. Going back to Hebrews chapter 17, we're at Hebrews chapter 17. We're actually going to pick it up probably from verse 24, but that's not going to be the jump-off point that we go to in doing this. So the jump-off point will be a little further down in the passage, but we'll pick it up at Acts chapter 17, verse 24. As you guys remember, Paul is in this situation where he is at Athens, he's at Mars Hill, and the whole thing here has to do with him sharing about, you know, what he has come across, and that is to an unknown God. He found that, you know, little idol thing sitting out there, so he's taking advantage and sharing with people about the gospel, about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So we do have somebody calling in. We'll give them a chance to answer. So, you know, and then what we'll do is we'll jump back into this, and I want you to pick up on some of these things because they're very important to understand. It's very important to understand that how Paul presented the gospel, it are good, not just hints, but methodologies that we can observe and say, I might be able to use that. I feel comfortable with that. So when you hear stuff like that, you want to use it. You want to make it a part of your quote-unquote arsenal. There you go. All right. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
It's Brother Stan, David.
Hey, Brother Stan, how are you?
I can't complain at all.
Well, you know, that...
Not one bit.
That is a great thing for you to say.
It's the truth. It's the truth. I don't want to mess nothing up. The Lord is good.
Amen.
And I don't want to stay in my position for 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, complaining. Here's the advantage. God can burn the ends of the camp for you. Okay, that's not a good idea. It's like, yeah, that's not good. Let's not do that. That's bad. That's a bad thought. All right, my brother, here we go. Are you ready for this one?
I'm gonna take a stab at it.
Okay. Who is known as the last Adam?
Lord Jesus?
That is correct, Armando!
Hallelujah.
Yes, so it's in, so some people say, what's the second Adam? Okay, but in context, it's like there's the first Adam, okay, that's in the Genesis, and Jesus is the last Adam, or the second Adam, or last Adam, and he is the first of a new group, so to speak, and that's one of the coolest things. It's like the new grouping part of the new Adam, so the first Adam lost the fellowship with the Holy Spirit because of sin, but now because of Jesus inside of us, and by faith, the Holy Spirit exists in us for real as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the new us are the people who have a fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's like, that's pretty cool. That's cool stuff
right
there.
But the door never set before him.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He endured it all.
Amen.
I love you guys.
All right, man.
I will be supporting you all best I can.
Much love. We appreciate that. And if you get stuck or whatever and you can't, don't worry about it. Be praying for us. That's our thing is, if you can't give, give me the time. I'll take it.
I think there's a brother Jay that comes on my mind a lot.
Amen. He needs that. You've been praying for him, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
that's an excellent
and
job.
Everyone else, but
that's
excellent. I don't know, for him, for some reason, he weighs on my heart.
Amen. Excellent. I love that you said that. That just shows the Holy Spirit moving upon you. When you hear that and you hear somebody and then you get this like this attachment, you're like, oh, huh, I need to be praying for that person. See, that's the Holy Spirit moving on you for ministry for him.
Yes,
that's powerful,
yes,
brother. Powerful.
Amen.
Powerful. Love it. Love it.
Amen.
Excellent. Excellent job.
All right. I love you guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. God bless you.
All right, Double D.
All right, D. You got a shout out.
Good stuff, Rose Dan.
Okay. Good job, bro. All right. See, we just...
And you know, we love our callers, but I think he raised a good point because I was actually thinking a little bit about Brother Jesse, and you brought him up, that you talked to him. So we got to all be this community of praying and thinking about one another.
Yeah, we're a community of believers. I mean, what I pray for us is that we be a community, a family, a fellowship, just so you can know. That's how I look at it. And people are like, well, is it like a church? Like, no, I'll tell you why. I say, people are like, why is it not like a church? Because we don't do baptism and we don't do communion. So it's not a church. I'm just telling you
pretty
how it
much.
Goes. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the book. I'm just reading it. I've written a couple of things. Some were good. Some were not. Hey, on the commercial stuff, I wrote some good. I won an award for it, a commercial. But it was so goofy, they didn't know what to do with it. See, that's what happened. People are going to go, what?
More from where that came from.
Yeah, well, that's forthcoming, isn't it? Okay, let's go back to the text. I do want to teach this, and I'm not trying to toot. Nobody has to tell me I'm full of sin, like I'm a sinner. I know, but I love this part. I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved. I'm a mess, but I'm God's mess. Okay, to the text, verse 24 of Acts 17. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples or human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. So we talked about that last week. God, you're not doing God favors. He's doing you a favor. He's doing me a favor. Next verse. He himself gives life and breath to everything. You just don't need to go any further to catch this, okay? He himself gives life and breath to everything. Do you know what humanity is entitled to? Nothing. Do you know what people sit there and they say, well, this is my, we have a new disease that's come out. It's called time deficiency disease. And this is, I'm not kidding. I'm not even making this up. These are people that have a time deficiency. It's called time blindness. That's what it's called. And time blindness is, these are people that can't get to work on time because they're time blind. And they actually have a doctor who is telling them, this is an actual disease. It sure is. It's called being lazy, being irresponsible. It's like all this time blindness.
Wow.
I'm not there on time. You know what? I think I'll use that when I owe money to the government. I'm sorry. It was just time blindness. I just couldn't figure it out.
What next, Dave?
I mean, this is just like, you know, I love what Steve Martin said. I'll just use it because it is funny. He said, when they said, why didn't you pay taxes for the last 15 years? It's a joke or routine he does. He goes, why didn't you pay taxes? He goes, I forgot. It's like, you know, it's like, listen, folks, nobody is entitled to anything. You're not entitled to the next breath you take. You know, I understand what they're saying. I understand what they're trying to create when we talk about human rights. I understand that. But from a divine point of view, God's not obligated to give any person their next breath. They're not owed their next breath. I don't care what preacher, I don't care if the greatest scholar in the world says, no, God is he's not required to give anybody anything. He himself gives. Most likely, you could say it's because he loves, because that's why God gives. He gives life and breath to everything. So then you back it up and go, number one, who's in charge? God's in charge. Oh, you can go 3 days without food. You probably go 7 days without food. Jesus went 40 days. Moses went 40. People have done that. You can go several days without water, a little less than the food kind of thing. You can't go 1 day without breath. You can't go 1 hour and live. You can be put in a coma where you still have to have oxygen. You still have oxygenization. I don't know. You got to have air. Thank you. I knew I'd get there. What I'm trying to say is, look, God gives breath to everything. So everything that everybody accomplishes ever that they try to brag about only happens because God gave them air. Just like, uh-oh. Well, where does that leave all our bragging? Is there a trash can around here? Yeah, that's where it leaves it. That's all there is to it. God is in charge. And you think, well, why did so many people, they do this and they brag about this? And I say, the Lord has a record book. He'll take care of it all. It'll all be made right. But in the meantime, we should be appreciative because every day he gives us is a gift, right? What's that saying? That's why they call it the present. Oh, there you go. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
And my entire life, of course, I mean, you know, my career used to be the, you know, the only thing I cared about, you know, in a sense, and now my family is my priority. So I still love my career and I love what I do for a living, but it keeps me grounded because, you know, the primary thing for me now is making sure that, you know, I've got a active and healthy family life.
You know, it's really, it's our privilege. We want you to know how much we appreciate it. I think your talent is undersold in the context that it's not promoted enough. I think some of your stuff is just anything that makes me laugh, especially the way the world is now. Anything that makes me laugh, I love. I think it's gold. So I think you've done a lot of gold. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. I really like that thing where God is the giver of breath and life and everything. It's like there is just like it just leaves like no room for boasting.
And that's very true, Dave.
I mean, you can boast in the Lord, right? I mean, that's the big thing there. So anyway, okay. So we did that one. Here's your next one. This is kind of an interesting one. Let's see if you guys can get this one. The answer is going to be in Matthew chapter 12. Whom did Jesus call? Specifically, what group? Whom did Jesus call the generation of vipers? Generation of vipers. Who was he talking to when he said that? You generation of vipers. Oh, Jesus never called anybody a name. You generation of vipers. Must have slipped most people's minds. If you think you know the answer there, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. Now, unfortunately for most of you, as you well know, this is primarily the joke time, and I've got three, and I think they're funny. They're all about teachers and students. I still think they're funny, and you're still going to have to put up with them because that is part of the show. Here's your first one. Are you ready? Here's the first one. The teacher to the child, Johnny. The teacher. Johnny, how much is 3 times 3? Johnny responds, 9. The teacher, that's pretty good, Johnny. Johnny responds, pretty good. I'd say it's perfect. See, that's actually a good play for that one. That's a good one right there. Okay, now this is funny. I hope you guys will appreciate this. Teacher to the student. Teacher, I hope I didn't see you looking at somebody else's paper, Billy. Billy's response, I hope so too, teacher. That's funny. All right, here's the last one. That's not funny, though. I hope you didn't see
that
it,
was,
too.
That was funny, Dave.
All right, come on. So, all right, here you go. Sometimes you wonder what kids are really learning. Yesterday, a teacher pointed at the flag, turned to a 6-year-old and asked him, what was it? And he answered, it's the flag of my country. The teacher couldn't leave well enough alone. She said, now tell me the name of the country. And he said, tis of thee. See, that's funny too. Come on, you guys. Lighten up. All right, here we go. Okay. I thought it was funny. Here we go. Whom did Jesus call generation of vipers? Who's talking to a specific group? Should not be that hard to figure out who Jesus didn't get along real well with. If you really want to have fun, just go into Matthew 23 and see how he calls 12 different names to people, but that's besides the point. 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. Who did he call? What group did he call? Generation of Vipers. Somebody is calling in to give the answer. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what's coming. And I've never done it before, so that'll be fun and interesting all by itself, which I think I mentioned the other day. So I'm doing good. I'm in that perplexing kind of evaluation mode, you know, like how do we do this and how do we do this kind of thing. So be in prayer for me while I bang my head against the wall, okay?
Well, I've been praying for you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
I appreciate it, brother. Here we go. To whom did Jesus call the generation of vipers?
I believe he was talking to the Pharisees.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right. And what's amazing is this is actually in Matthew chapter 12. It's the 24 through 34 portion and not the Matthew 23 portion, which he goes a lot deeper in that one chapter than any other chapter, not appreciating a certain group of people. Speaking of lawyers, Pharisees, Sadducees, and things of that nature. That's where he goes to the deep dive. So excellent job, brother. How you feeling? You feeling any better? Feeling the same? Where you at?
Well, maybe just a little bit.
Okay.
I want to keep praying.
Yeah, I want to keep praying. I mean, look, if you get a little better, a little better, a little better after five or six times, it's a lot better after you get a little better each time, right? I know that's crazy, but I believe it, Gary. So I'm just not going to quit. So let me pray for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, I come before you. I lift up my brother, Gary, to you, and I ask you. Now, Lord, I'll keep knocking. You say knock. It'll be open. Like, knock, knock. And we are asking you to heal his physical body. It's not a matter of, you know, us doing this. This is a matter that you have to do it because it's beyond us, in your hands, and you are able to do it, and we are asking you to do it and petitioning you to do it to heal his physical body, and that his faith would increase, his joy would increase, his peace and the reception of grace and mercy would increase. He's stable in you, Lord, but he needs stability and healing in his body. So bring that to him. That's the petition of our hearts before you. Please heal our dear brother Gary in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you very much. I'll keep praying for you, and God bless you.
Thank you, bro. God bless you. All right. Now, this next text, I want to get right into it because it's not even long, but it's so good. These are the things that are – I can never teach this right. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. So right after that prior verse where it says he himself gives life and breath to everything, here's the next thing that it says.
What chapter are we in?
We are in chapter 17. So if you picked it up from verse 24, so we're actually in verse 25 and the very end of the verse. So in the prior part of the verse, we said he himself gives life and breath to everything. And then it says this, and he satisfies every need there is. Now, what is it? You got the ESV there or the NIV? Which one you got?
I got the New King James Version.
Okay.
Are we in 17 chapter?
We're in chapter 17, and it should be verse 25.
Okay, 17:25.
So pull that one up, and then read the last little segment of the verse, so what we call the D section, but the very last part of it.
He gives to all life, breath, and all things.
Keep going.
And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation.
Okay, so that's a different translation. So this ought to go really well for me. So here's how this is going. When in the translation I'm working with, which is the New Living Translation, so everybody can know, it says, and I like these, so don't get weird on me, he gives life and breath and everything, and he himself satisfies every need that there is. In other words, God does everything that's completed for everybody. And this text, verified by several other texts, makes it clear that there is one creator and there is creation. And so when by giving life and breath, he meets every need that there is. Have you ever noticed that if we need oxygen, you know, we need oxygen to live, there is oxygen on the planet. And so what I want you to get is from the one man he created, just what he said, from the one man he created all the nations through the whole earth, and he decided beforehand which should rise and which should fall, and he determined their boundaries. In other words, the Lord, I know this is going to be really tough, the Lord knows where everybody's land is. Here's the thing about land. Everybody rents. Only God owns. Man is renting. And so the Lord has created, meeting every need there is. He has created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He's decided, when did he decide this? When is it? Beforehand. Which should rise and fall? Uh-oh. And he determined their boundaries. Uh-oh. You mean God is actually involved in the governments of people? Do you remember that the whole religious or whole anti-religious movement was like, God's not involved in elections? You want to bet? Want to bet? He lifts up one and puts down another. He's in charge of the boundaries. He's in charge of their dominance. You're thinking, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Do you think that America is as strong as America is because God said no? Do you think the other nations that rise up are as strong as they are because God said no? That's absurd. That means that God's not sovereign. And when it says that he satisfies every need that there is, here's the thing I want you to get. I just love this portion right here. You will never find fulfillment in anything in your existence apart from God's hand. You will not find the happiness. I will not find the happiness. There is no happiness. There is no gladness. There is substitute gladness for a temporary time, but there's no actual gladness anywhere except because of God. And we keep trying to add things into our lives and make it happier and make it better. And only the Creator can make the creation satisfied. And you want to know why that is? I'm just going to make a quick observation. Because he created us. See, he knows us.
Makes so much sense.
I mean, that's just like, So who's in charge? And this is what Paul's preaching. So who's in charge? These people are probably like going, what? What? All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean—
It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to give you the next trivia question. We'll be sending you the site. And I'm also going to be reviewing the Greek on that last translation thing because I have found all the things that it really takes me a minute. It's so weird. I just thank the Lord for his kindness in my life. That's all I can say. I just got nothing else to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So let's do our trivia question. I think that would be the next thing to do. I think you guys will probably get this. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. So you guys should know this is going to be the Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. Who was he talking to? It's kind of obvious, so I'm just leaving it there. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, right? Who's he talking to? You're the salt of the – you're the Mortons of the earth. See, Morton salt. Dude, that's – okay. If you think you know, 97 – that was a good reference point.
I know that.
972-445-0770. That's the number to call. 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to send you up to the website. We do have somebody calling in, but I'm still going to send you the website so you guys can be aware of that. Don't forget, on the website, you got praise reports, so you can fill out a praise report. It can be for public or it can be for private. You got and you have to say, please, somebody else read it. You also have prayer requests. So if you got something you want to petition, but you really don't want to talk about it on the air, you can do that. There's no cost. There's no requirement. Nobody gets any of your information. None of that stuff happens. We don't do that. And then, we try to be careful. So you got prayer requests, you got praise reports, and then on the website you have the opportunity to give. Like we said, Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's a very powerful element that we are called to contribute to the needs of the saints. If we can help out, we should do our best to do that. We hope some of it comes here, but regardless, I want you to do what you're doing giving towards God. Don't give like it's a bill. I think that's a really good statement. Give because it's an act of worship between you and the Lord. That's what you do. Check it all out, by the way, on the website. Go to hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
I just could see if you remember when you were like 6 or 5 when you first saw that commercial, you're like, going, oh, yeah.
Was it like Pepto-Bismol or something?
Alka-Seltzer.
Okay.
Yeah. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Oh, what a relief it is. Sorry.
Couldn't help yourself.
I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. That's what happens. You get a Christian who's kind of a product of some of that stuff. It's like, that's what it is. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm great. I'm blessed.
Amen, sister. That is good to hear. It's good to know that you're blessed, and we love that you're blessed, and we want you to be even more blessed. How about that? Even more.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. All right, here we go. Classic kind of question. To whom did Jesus call? I'm sorry, wrong one. Whom did Jesus call the salt of the earth?
I'm just guessing, so I'm thinking it's the Jews.
Okay, now, who specifically, maybe those that would follow him, we would give that designation?
The disciples.
That's it right there. So the people
I thought the disciples at first, but then I go, well, no, maybe it's everybody.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point. So when he's teaching it, what he's doing is he's saying, you know, because they're listening to him. They're listening to him, and they're becoming his followers. It's like, you're it. You're the light that's going to go out there. You're the salt. You're my disciples. You're going to represent. So you had it right, and then you went with your second one. Isn't that funny? But you were right there because you knew where it was going. So great job. Thank you so much.
Alrighty, and are y'all doing all right?
Yep, doing great. Doing great. Need prayers because we're expanding the show, so pray for us.
always pray for y'all and everybody too.
Amen.
All the names I can remember, but I just say, you know, the whole audience.
That's what, you know what? When I stop remembering names, I do that too. Excellent job.
All right.
Great call.
Okay, thank you. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Excellent call. You guys are a delight. All right. So I want to go back to this because we have a kind of a different translation. So I'm looking at everything because in my brain, I'm like, you know, how did you get that, Dave? Where'd you come up with it? I mean, it's just how I am. And I give myself no room to. So the Greek for that last part of that verse 25, where it says he himself gives all life and breath, and it says, and the all. Okay, so this is important to understand. Ketapanta in the Greek. Ketapanta, which is like you're probably going, what does that mean, Dave? And here's what it means. It means, like New International translated, and everything else. The English Standard Version, and everything else. And so the New Living Translation went, and satisfies every need, everything else. That's kind of what it's talking about. So if you want to know why there's a variance in translation, that's what it is. So the way that the NLT people see it is everything that's needful that God takes care of. That's the end everything. Does that make sense?
And that makes sense, too, because this says gives to all life, breath, and all things.
Yeah, and so there's the all things part is it's everything. And see, what people don't understand is that God's intimate involvement with us is so much higher than, well, I just want to say higher than maybe we think it is. I think we think a little bit more like the deists who think God came, dropped it off, and then said, let's see what they do, and then went back and is just watching on a tube or something. It's like, no, God's a lot more involved than that. Now, let's go back to the text, though, because I wanted to say, I want to finish up on this one part. So where it says in verse 26, from one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth, okay? So guess what? I guess that's not pro-evolution there, right? In fact, not only is it not evolution, it's de-evolution, because you want to know why? Man fell in the garden. So it's been on a downslide ever since then. Okay, you think, well, knowledge has increased, knowledge of good and evil. Not only has man increased in his good knowledge, he's also increased in his evil knowledge, because now we can kill people 10,000 more ways than they had in the garden. Isn't that fantastic? So then it says, he decided beforehand which should rise and which should fall and determine their boundaries. But here's the key text, verse 27. This is what Paul's preaching. You got to remember this. His purpose in all of this is that the nations should seek after God. Okay, before you go anywhere else in that, in other words, God has a purpose, he has an intent. His purpose should be that they seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. But let's just back that up. God has a purpose in what he does. He creates mankind, he gives them the opportunity to enjoy him, and then God still isn't, he doesn't, you know, distance himself where he's not involved in any of these governments or mentality things, because that kind of thinking is inappropriate. What he is saying is simply this, is I'm involved because I'm trying to get to people so that they can know that someone cares. because the biggest thing you give me all this stuff in the world about money and give me all this stuff about fame and all this stuff about power. You take all that, put it in a ball and compare it to one thing. Knowing that somebody cares about you is 1,000 times more powerful. It's not even funny. I mean, it's like if you think about how serious that is, it's like knowing that somebody cares is life-changing. Because you can't bury that nobody cares about you feelings with enough drugs and alcohol or enough sex or enough money. You can't bury it. It's not buryable. You can't, that's probably the wrong word, but you can't do it. And the reason that's important to understand is because we need to understand the value that God's still reaching out to us. Yeah, it's nice to have some extra money. Don't be weird. And yeah, it's this, and yeah, it's this. And it's wonderful to have human companionship. It's wonderful to have people that love you. But what I need, and I think what most of you need, is I need somebody who will never walk away from me. That's what I need. I need somebody who will say, even though you do dumb things and say stupid things and operate stupidly, and the whole reason why God does what he does is to tell us that. God's trying to tell you how important you are to him. God's intent is that we would seek him and reach out and find him. Guess what you can't do to find God? You can't buy your way in. You can't sex your way in. You can't drugs your way in. You can't drinks your way in. But you can faith your way in. Ouch. How about that? How about faith your way in to the very one who's holding everything you're looking for in himself? Wow. That's some deep, deep, if you think about it, that's like, wow, right? We're going stellar deep there.
It really is.
That's deep stuff. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
I was driving down I-30 yesterday, and it was stop and go traffic. There's, I guess, an accident up ahead. So I was putting along at 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour. And this little sports car would speed up and get right beside me, and then he'd fall back. You know, just kind of we're shuffling back and forth. He'd go, and I'd go, and he'd go, and I'd go. And I just was watching out of the corner of my eye and just kind of mindlessly driving at 20 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little beep, 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 beep. And I said, uh-oh, what did I do? And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and he drove right up next to me. He had his windows rolled down, and he gave me a big old thumbs up. And I said, what's he giving me a thumbs up for? I was kind of expecting, when you have somebody honking at you, you're expecting something else, you know. And then I realized I have that bumper sticker on there God created the universe. He can write a book. And then he just sped off. He slowly drove off at 20 miles an hour. But I just thought that was neat. That's the first time that anybody's really gives a thumbs up for a bumper sticker. Usually people that have bumper stickers, it's to hold their bumper on their car. But
I just
wanted to share that story.
That is an awesome story. First of all, it's really good that he gave you a thumbs up and didn't use any other fingers. So let's just say that's for sure. And then the other part about that is that that's cool because whether he's listening to the show or not, he agrees with you, knows that that's true. Hey, look, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just get that. Well, let's get that squared away, you know?
Yes. And you know what? He might be listening to the story, to the radio now.
That's exactly right. What a blessing. That's cool. And we do have those bumper stickers. So, we only have so many, but we're going to do an ambassador program, and that'll give people an opportunity to put the bumper sticker on their car if they want to. And nobody wants you to do anything to your car you don't want to. But I really, really appreciate you sharing that story. And that is a great story. And see, every time we're on traffic, we think something bad's going to happen. Instead, hey, there was something good that happened. Somebody standing with you in the faith, perhaps a fellow listener saying, right on. Just right. That's the right target. I bet that blessed you at the moment, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I mean, I love that. Oh, good job. Good job in being an ambassador just by sharing that bumper sticker and just by proclaiming the truth. Some people will read that and they might go, I don't know, but it sure challenges a lot of people, doesn't it? It's like, you got to think that through, don't you?
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Let's go to the last trivia question. Who does Paul describe as my own son in the faith? You got to be thinking pastoral epistles. Oh, that's so funny. I got to respond to Joy and Cordelia because they did something that was really funny. They don't know that it's funny, but it's very funny. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So you need to be thinking pastoral epistles. Okay, all right. So you got to think, and we talked about that. Those are three epistles that Paul wrote from a pastoral kind of background. That's why they're called that. Prison epistles are the ones he wrote in prison. So you kind of get the feeling for where that's going on. And so he wrote that about somebody. Who did he write that about? And when I give the answer, ultimately, I probably will get a bad email or two, but that's okay. But, yeah, you guys can get through it.
That'd be all right.
That'll be all right. Let's do history real fast. Let's zing that through. Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past. All right, today is National Chicken Finger Day.
I will take two of those.
This is a classic. Bagpipe Appreciation Day.
Interesting.
That's different. It's Walk on Stilts Day. I've done that one time.
I can't do that.
Not successfully, I didn't say. I just did it one time, which is why I only did it one time.
Smart man.
And then the last thing, National Creme Brulee Day, which Noelle and I went on a vacation one time, and we were in the dining room area, and the person came over, and they said, you want a creme brulee, like a fresh creme brulee? And we're like, yeah. And they, like, caramelized it right in front of us.
Now, what is that, Dave?
Oh, it's – I can't even – It's
quick. No quick version.
It's pudding that's out of this world.
That's a great
Yeah, I mean, it's like creme brulee is like – it's more than that, but – And then they caramelize it, they burn the top, and oh, okay. Anyway, never mind. I'm trying to lose weight, people. Stop making me think about this stuff. 1940, Bugs Bunny makes his first appearance in a cartoon called A Wild Hare. Now, I am a Bugs Bunny fan, so I do not care that people are like, oh, I did this. I don't care. It's funny. And then, let's see, chewing gum. In 1869, Amos Tyler received the first patent for chewing gum, which consisted of white rosin and olive oil. Which
oh,
doesn't,
wow. So it wasn't wrinkly.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's not right. That just seems kind of bizarre. Okay, back to the triv. We'll finish on the teach. The triv, who does Paul describe as my own son in the faith? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So now to the rest or the end of this text, picking it back up from that spot where he said, his purpose in all of this was that, and this is verse 27 of Acts 17, his purpose in all this was that the nation should seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Hint, 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 hint. Though he is not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, or him in him we live and move and have our existence. And what's important about this is Paul is closing down his argument with some of the things that he brought up in the argument. And what he's saying in the argument is you can't exist apart from God. He gives breath and life to everyone. And then he's like, and not only that, but he's closing this part out by saying, because in him we live and move and have our being. We have our existence. And so what Paul is trying to communicate is everything that we are able to do, we can do because of God. In this part of the argument, he's telling people, just so you can follow, when we stand before the Lord and the Lord says, why didn't you respond to me? His response to people that say, I did this and I did this and this is, he's going to go, you didn't do anything that I wasn't connected to because you couldn't even move without me. Every genuine Christian knows that every good thing you've ever done is because of the grace of God. You just know it. You know that every good word you've said, every time you said something that came out of your mouth and somebody said, wow, that's really good. And then you turned your head to nobody and went, oh, where'd that come from? It came from God. That's where it came from. Because in him we live and we move and we exist. Again, taking away all rights of that. I know everybody thinks human rights and this rights and this rights. You know what? I can't wait till somebody, when the Lord comes back and they go, human rights. And God goes, human breath. Bye. That's it. And who's going to argue? Nobody. But here's the thing that I want you to get out of this text. It says that God is looking for people to feel their way towards him. In other words, he's looking for people to search for him. What does that mean, to feel your way towards him? In other words, what does it mean when they say that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way towards him and find him? What does that mean? That means using everything at our disposal to reach out to touch God and to find him. You have to pour all of you into to seek him. He wants people to do what? He wants them, they should reach out towards him, feel their way towards him, and find him, even though he's right there. You know how far God is? He is a word away. Do you realize that? When you say God, he's right there. Satan can't answer for God. Or nobody would ever get saved. Sinner's prayer, Satan could obstruct it, wouldn't then would get saved. When you say God, he's there. All right. Let's have the person on the phone sent through. Knock, knock. This is David. We got about 50 seconds. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, good friend?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed and highly favored as usual.
Amen. I appreciate that. Brother, who does Paul describe as my own son in the faith?
Is that Timothy?
Yes, it is! You're correct, Mundo! Excellent job. That's what he says in 1 Timothy 1:2. He's my own son in the faith. So people say, well, he's a son. He's a son in the faith, somebody that Paul nurtured and worked with. Excellent job, brother.
You're doing a good job putting out words of truth, so I appreciate that.
Love you, brother. God bless you. You are such a blessing to me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. God bless you and Captain Dave both. All thank right. you, Tom. Right. I'll tell you later.
All right,
thank
brother. You. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. How good is Brother Ace? He knows right when to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to be taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.